Blizzard shows how cold they can really be. 8 new games are releasing in the next 2 weeks. Do you need a game where you can chill out? Don't worry, I got you in this episode of A Christian Gaming Podcast. Welcome to episode 6 of A Christian Gaming Podcast. It is the podcast focused on putting God before gaming and being more mindful of our faith while we are gaming. You can follow the show on Twitter at @A_CG Podcast. You can follow me, your host, Raina Swiftshit. You can follow me, your host, Raina Swiftsage, at Raina Plays on Twitter. And you can email the show at achristiangamingpodcast@gmail.com. It is February 14th. It is Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day. Well, we're going to get right into getting our daily bread on. Here we go. All right. Well, we're going to get started with a little tale of why I picked this Bible verse, because it kind of picked me. So I'll just get started telling you. A couple years ago, we bought a dozen baby chicks, and we now have around 25. The first year, they started giving us eggs at around 3 months old, but many don't typically give you eggs until like 6 months, some, or even closer to a year. They spoiled us because we spoiled them. We would give them all kinds of treats, our old bread, veggies, fruit. In the winter, we would make them special dishes of oatmeal and veggies, and they scarf it up. They loved it. We would put a heat lamp in the chicken coop to help them stay all nice and warm. They gave us eggs all through the winter last year. I would be on Facebook pages for chicken farmers and stuff, and there'd be people complaining about how their chickens were not giving them eggs and all this stuff, and we were just having them, you know, come out the ears. So this winter started off very different. We were no longer getting eggs. The mister would go out to collect from them and there wouldn't be any. He was growing frustrated. He started saying, "Well, it's time to get rid of the chickens. We spent money on feed every week and now we have to buy eggs from the store." So he was getting really irritated. I told him it was because he had stopped pampering them, spending time with them. When I would offer to make up their favorite batch of oatmeal, he would spout off that they didn't deserve it as they were not giving us any eggs. And I would tell him, it's cause and effect. You cannot expect them to give you something when you're not putting any time in with them like you done the year before. He got spoiled, he got complacent. So, well, this winter, when the temperature dipped below zero in the States and the wind chill was, you know, close to negative 35, I fired up a batch of oatmeal for them. I made the mister bring it out to them and he hooked up their heat lamp to help keep them warm. Guess what we had the next day? Eggs. Yes, we did. The mister came in with 20 eggs after the first night with their big batch of oatmeal and their heat lamp. They busted out 20 eggs for us. And then he finally agreed with me that they weren't holding off eggs because they didn't lay anymore. They were not giving us eggs because he had stopped spending time with them, stopped showing them that we love them, stopped going that extra mile, stopped making time for them. So yesterday when we were loading groceries into the van and I said to him, "Doesn't it feel good not to have to buy eggs today?" And that is honestly when this Bible verse smacked me in the forehead. I honestly know it's just God impressing this upon me. And sometimes he'll be like, you know, look at the situation. Here is a perfect, you know, scripture that matches it. And I kind of just mull over it. So the scripture, you know, it might be a little rough for someone to hear, because it's very straight to the point. But it's Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, New King James Version. And it was titled in the, you know how Bibles, they put a little chapter title in there sometimes, and it's titled, "I Never Knew You." And this Bible verse was like, boom, in my head. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Like, I never knew you. You know, that's what it rings into me. Because I know when we rolled into our chicken coop, you know, on winter number two, and we're like, where's our eggs? Our chickens were like, we don't know you. You know, you haven't been, who are you? You haven't been coming to visit. You haven't spent any time with me. We're not going to give you any eggs, you know? So someday we will want to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Will we be let in? Do we make time each day to spend with God? Are we doing his will? Are we really making an effort to know him? Or are we just slapping a fish sticker to the back of our car and putting the word Christian in our bios and our social media? Our relationship with God is very much like the relationships we have in our life right now. If you never spend time with your significant other, how do you think that relationship will go? If you plant a garden but never weed or water it, how do you think that will go? If your friends stop calling you or answering your calls but show up the minute you receive a large inheritance, how do you think you might feel? God wants all of us. He wants a real relationship with us. It doesn't happen overnight, but it needs to be intentional. The enemy has tricked many of us into thinking that we don't have to spend time with God to maintain a relationship with him. I mean, why wouldn't he? That's what he wants. He wants us not to spend time with God. So that is his goal. And I'm not all about making the enemy's goal happen. Just like when we stopped maintaining the relationship with our chickens, we can all be guilty of not making time to spend with God. For us, we were just out eggs. But someday we might find, well, we will find ourselves face to face with God and wondering if he will recognize us. I don't want to have to wonder. I want him to know me.
Heads up.
I don't think he knew that poll was there.
This week's poll, well, I should say this episode's poll, since I bust out a couple shows a week. Well, this episode's poll was one to do with ethics. I put out the question, do the ethics of a game company determine if you play any of their games, buy any of their merchandise? Share your thoughts below if they are not covered in the poll. So we had 29 votes, 29 participants. 38% said, yep, the ethics of a game company does determine if they play any of their games. 7% said, nope, it does not determine it. 17% said, I never thought about it before. And 38% said, it's circumstantial in my opinion. And I was among the 38% that said it was circumstantial, because personally, there's a lot of circumstances, like on the outside looking in, it might appear that a company's ethics are, you know, questionable, or a decision that they have made is questionable. So if I don't do any digging and I just do with like a hot take on it, you know, that's probably not the best option. But I thought it was pretty neat that during the poll, 38% we were tied. 38% said, yep, it does matter. And 38% said it's circumstantial. So I think that shows that the majority of the poll takers here do pay attention to the ethics of game companies, and they do pay attention to the circumstances around decisions that maybe have them giving them a side eye. Because, you know, there is a cause and effect for everything. So not everything is so cut and dry. Not everything is so easily explained away. So personally, I don't feel good playing games where they make me do bad things. You know, I cannot play Grand Theft Auto. I just can't get behind it. I don't do those things in real life. And even if I wanted to, I wouldn't. It just makes me feel like a bad person, so I don't play games like that. And then if I know that a game company is doing shiesty things that do not line up with my moral compass, I really struggle wanting to toss money at them. So this poll was inspired by the news this week about Blizzard, but we will get into that in a little bit later in the news section. So I want to thank everybody for participating in the poll. You can do that by following the show on Twitter at @A_CG Podcast. is what I've been up to. I will make it quick and brief because I have a lot to unpack in the news section. It just feels like there's a lot there. Maybe not, but it feels like it. So what I've been doing in game last couple days is I did get into Stardew Valley. It felt nice to hop back into Stardew Valley. I started a new game since I've had my last game just got. It was so dusty and, you know, I forgot kind of where I was at my very first time playing it a year ago. So I thought I'm just going to start over. So I did. So I got to do that. And then I got back into Ark on my server that I run. I downloaded this fun mod. I just downloaded it today, so I'm so excited to get a crack at it. But it's called Simply Human, and I added it to my Ark server. And it is so cool. In the past, I really loved the Bush People mod, but it was always so overpowered. The Bush People, in the very beginning, you could add like these NPCs to your game. And if you played single player or if you rented a server, you could add NPCs to it. But these NPCs were crazy. They could make their hovercrafts like float in the air. They were really overpowered. Recently, the most updated version, which I think it's actually taken off the Steam Workshop now, they would whistle like an unlimited amount of dinosaurs just out of the air. Just when you thought you got this one bush person killed, another one would appear. You kill their dinosaur, and then all of a sudden they blow a whistle and another dinosaur. It was like a never-ending cycle of dinosaurs dropping from the sky. And you're like, what? This is so crazy. How? No, this is not even right. So I was so happy when I found this mod called Simple Humans, because you can tame these humans. They run around in the world like dinosaurs, but they're people and they all have names already. And they're all pretty basic and primitive. I haven't really seen anything. Like, they're not shooting me with guns or lasers. They're like bows. And actually, I only think right now I've seen melee weapons so far. So you can tame these humans and then you can dress them up. You can arm them. And there's even certain dinosaurs that you can tame that they can ride. So you can like make a whole posse, like a whole war party. I'm totally excited. I'm going to make like little huts in a little village, and like you can breed them. So you can have like little families and stuff. I'm so excited about this. So if you ever feel like playing Ark, you can join my server. Just go to reinaplays.com, and I have the Steam Connect page there. So you can join it if you want to check this out. So it's just my husband and I, and then my buddy Goon right now playing on it. So it's just really low key. It's a small server. I don't expect a lot of people to want to come and play. So, but it's fun. And if you just want to give it a try, you're more than welcome to. Oh, and I'm also firing up just a tiny Discord channel. So if you want to stop in and say hi, you are more than welcome to too. And you'll be able to find all this info at reinaplays.com. All right, here we are into some gaming news. This story came across my Twitter feed and I wanted to toss it into my gaming news, and it was by a lady named Vicky Schauber from the BBC. And the article is very lengthy and very heartwarming, and I have just skimmed over it to add it into my show, but I do encourage you to go and read the entire article if you have time, because it is a great story. It is so cool. It is so cool. But it's about parents Robert and Trude. They had received news in May of 1993 about their son Matt. His name is Matt. So I don't know if that stands for something, but they just refer to him as Matt. The doctors told Robert and Trude that Matt's had Duchenne muscular dystrophy, DMD, which is a rare disorder that causes muscular degeneration, and it only happens mostly in boys. Matt's genes contained a coding error that would prevent his muscles from developing normally and would eventually destroy them. They were told he wouldn't live but only a few years, but you know what? By the grace of God, he lived until he was 25 years old. His father, Robert, delivered his son's eulogy late in 2014. He had made it 25 years. His parents wondered what kind of activity Mats would like to do in his spare time because he couldn't join in with sports like his classmates did. They thought of online gaming. So his dad gave him the password to the family computer, and just like the first time many of us entered into gaming, a new world opened up for Mats, and he was only 11 years old. In his real life, he was Mats, but he became Lord Bellin of Redmore, and sometimes he also played a character, Jerome Walker. His dad, Robert, is quoted saying during Matt's eulogy, "In the course of the 10 years of his life, Matt's played between 15,000 to 20,000 hours. That's equivalent to more than 10 years of a full-time employment." But there was a group at Matt's funeral that the family did not know, except for Matt's dad, who had met them the night before. The game Mats loved to play was World of Warcraft, and the unknown group of people that attended his funeral were his friends he had made in Azeroth. Technically, Mats had never met them in person, but you see, this group of people did not know their son as Mats, but instead as Bellin, and that didn't make their tears for their fallen friend hold any less meaning. This is just, like I said, just a few details of the entire story. It actually goes into more in depth. It talks about the people that were in his guild, how they met him, how they cultivated such an amazing relationship with Mats, and how they ended up having candlelight vigils, and how they ended up going to his funeral. And it, like I said, it gave me goosebumps because so often games like World of Warcraft and just gaming in general get a bad rap from people who are non-gamers. And as parents now see in hindsight that having this life that he had gave him something to live for when he was trapped and wheelchair bound and didn't get to get out of his house. He had a nurse come in and take care of him. You know, what kind of a life would he have had just staring at like four walls every day? But being able to log in to his gaming world and make real heartfelt love and caring connections is something that is very underrated, and people that are non-gamers do not understand that even in the fake world of Azeroth and other worlds and other video games, that blessings like this do occur. So I really encourage you to read the rest of the story. I'm putting the link to that in my show notes at achristiangamingpodcast.com. Activision Blizzard laid off nearly 800 employees after having a record year in 2018. They had 9,600 employees on their payroll. Most of the layoffs are affecting the non-development sectors. Many cannot wrap their mind around why they were laying off so many of their staff when reporting a record net revenue of $750 billion in 2018, up from $702 billion in 2017. Many might say big deal, but you know what? Yeah, they do have stockholders that they have to keep happy, but it sheds a different light on the matter when you find out that they gave a $15 million award to their new CFO, Dennis Durkin. That is a $15 million sweetener on top of his $900,000 salary and a $1.35 million target bonus. Yeah, I can't wrap my mind around that. They have a record year. They cut 800 plus, you don't know what the future holds, jobs. And then they can afford, though, to give this dude $15 million on top of a $900,000 salary with a target of $135 million target bonus. It's just nuts. There were rumors of the layoffs for quite a while, but the hammer came down earlier this week. It turned the Blizzard gaming community upside down on social media. The Warcraft community has got several hard hits just within the community base itself. They just made it through the trenches together a week ago when the well-known pillar of the community, Elvine, LOL, was one of 21 men that were arrested in a Super Bowl child sex sting after he tried to seduce an undercover agent he thought was a 14-year-old girl on the app Whisper. Just a reminder, when you are allowing your children to download these apps, they are not as safe as you'd like to think they are. Just when the waves have calmed from last week, this news has shaken the community all over again, as they are super close to many of the community managers, some of them who had been let go. But the one thing I can say, after sitting back and watching this, because I was part of this gaming community for a very long time, about 6 years, they have done an amazing job sticking together and supporting one another. It was really touching and heartwarming seeing these game devs and gaming companies and gaming peeps in general across the board in the gaming community, players and developers and everything, all of a sudden make threads on Twitter and Google Docs where they can share job openings that they know of and that they have available. Losing your job is bad enough, but having to worry if you will find a new one fast enough is even worse. So it was really cool to see everybody band together in this particular rough time. Activision dropped Destiny's franchise last month, leaving it in the hands of the Bungie developer. It was reported that esports-centric and online games under Blizzard's banner, like Overwatch, Hearthstone, WoW, they've all experienced declining player bases over the past year. Call of Duty is still said to be the quote-unquote tentpole franchise for Activision. Call of Duty World League will receive some attention under the new setup. The Overwatch League will get some love going forward. According to the executives on the investor call, the Overwatch that you know is just a small part of what the franchise can be. Activision is building mobile versions of Diablo and Call of Duty right now, and Bobby Kotick said on the investor call that Activision needs to streamline in order to react quickly to changing market conditions and fresh business models. So I'm pretty sure that we have no idea what's in store, but I can understand the market is changing, and it changes every couple of years, and how they do have to adjust, and they have to adjust fast. But if I had to play devil's advocate, I can see that part, but I just still cannot justify a $15 million sweetener on top of a $900,000 thing. I just can't, in a record. I mean, it just seems greedy. It just seems really over the top. It's kind of like one of those situations, like, where's the end? Where's the ceiling on this type of behavior? Is there one? I don't know. Only time will tell. All right, like I said, there are a lot of gaming dev and gaming community, just gaming job opportunities in general. I have included links to the tweets and the information. Mitch Dyer had tweeted out, "The news about alleged Activision Blizzard layoffs next week could mean hundreds of great game makers will be without work, but we can't have that. Please retweet this document, a massive list of game dev job opportunities across the world. Help folks find work." So they made the document and with the hashtag game dev jobs 2019. So if you were one of those, or you know somebody who is affected by this, or just somebody, or maybe you are looking for a job in this field, I have included the link to this in the show notes, so you can just go to christiangamingpodcast.com and it'll be right in there, and it will take you right to the Google Docs that they have been cultivating and creating. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then there's also a thread by @zwill711 on Twitter. So I put the link to that in there too, but they said, okay, for everyone affected by the Blizzard layoffs, I'm going to go ahead and create a thread of people that are hiring to try and help some people out. So I have included both of those in the show notes. So hopefully if somebody wants to pass those on, you will be able to find them very easily. But in closing, on this whole topic in general, I did see some confusion with gaming, with people like me and you that love to play video games. A lot of people were kind of left with their hands up in the air going, do I still like, do I still support Blizzard? Do I still want to pay their games? Do I still want to sub to their games? Do I still want to buy their future games? Do I still want to throw my money at a company who that finds no fault in just kicking 900 employees out the door, but also patting the behind of their CFO, you know, way over the top? And, you know, it was definitely a catch-22 situation. I saw arguments for both sides. I saw people saying, you know, we don't want to toss our money at the greed machine anymore. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go play Guild Wars 2. I'm going to go find a new game to call home. But then I also saw the other side of the coin where people were like, well, you know, taking money away from the greed machine isn't really going to fix the problem. It actually might put more people out on the street. So I can see where, you know, a situation like this with Blizzard, people are trapped in a catch-22 position because, you know, if they keep throwing their money at the greed machine, they're crossing their fingers and they're hoping that maybe that's enough to keep the remaining employees employed. But as you can see, if they can afford to throw $15 million at one dude, I don't know that that even matters. You know, it's almost like it's not really a money thing if they can just throw that money at one dude, you know, and cut 900 people. You know, I guess the silver lining is they did it after Christmas. I think it'd even be even worse, even more cold-hearted if they would have done it 2 months ago. But still, I don't know. I can understand everybody's situation because it is a sticky one. So keep everybody in your prayers for sure. Well, on an upswing, it is the middle of February, and guess what? There are still like 8 games that you can, you know, check out because we have a lot of new releases coming up, and the whole month of February actually has been jam-packed. I did not want to read the entire list of February. I'm just going to read the pertinent ones, and that's starting with tomorrow. So that is February 15th. Crackdown 3 will be coming out for Xbox One and PC. Far Cry New Dawn will be coming out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC tomorrow. Jump Force is coming out tomorrow as well, February 15th, coming out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trilogy is coming out for Switch, PS4, Xbox One on February 21st. Anthem, PS4, Xbox One, PC, being released February 22nd. Metro Exodus, PS4, Xbox One, PC, released for February 22nd as well. Anno 1800 is coming out for PC on February 26th. Dirt Rally 2.0 is coming out for PS4, Xbox One, and PC on February 26th. And the Lego Movie 2 video game is coming out for Switch, PS4, Xbox One on February 26th. So how cool is that? All right, I am going to continue with the community spotlight from last week. In case you did not hear, the blog Gaming and God is looking for writers to guest post or even join as an ongoing writer. They are looking for Christians who want to write mainly about video games in various forms. It can be a review, opinion piece, personal experience, biographies of characters, news, anything that falls in that category. If you don't have a lot of ideas, that's okay. They said they will work with you and they will help you get will help give you ideas. Some games they would like reviewed, games that they can get copies of for a review, especially some lesser known faith-based games that they want to feature, etc. They don't care if the game is on mobile, Switch, PS4, whatever. They are not very picky. They will always be sure to help you grow and edit your content. So just to let you know, this is not a paid gig, but I personally think it'd be an excellent opportunity to get your thoughts out there and to work with and within the Christian gaming community. You can contact them for this opportunity at gamingandgod.com. You can also contact Samaru on Twitter at Samaru305, Samuru305, and you can email them gamingandgod@gmail.com, and you can track them down on Facebook as Gaming and God. Oh, Okay, this is a gaming spotlight. I'm going to add these in whenever I find something that I think I want to talk about. So I was scrolling around on Steam, seeing what was for sale, what was so new coming out. And this game, I've never seen anything like it before at all. It is called East Shade. And in East Shade, you are a traveling painter exploring the island of East Shade, capturing the world on canvas using your artist's easel, talking to inhabitants to learn about their lives, making friends and helping those in need, discovering mysteries and uncovering secrets about the land, surmount natural impasses to reach forgotten places, experience how your actions impact the world around you. It features a peaceful open world exploration adventure full of character. You will compose paintings anywhere in the world and offer them to locals to unlock secrets and gain items. Acquiring crafting materials and schematics to surmount obstacles and solve quests, make friends along the way through fully voiced dynamic conversations and unlockable topics. It looks so cool. Right now it is on sale. It is 15% off. It is normally $24.99. It is $21.24. The offer ends on February 20th, so it is a special promotion. This game just came out on February 13th of 2019. It's only a day or two old. So the reviews that it has 115 reviews, and it's very positive reviews. So it looks like I've not seen a game like this. It's not like a combat-driven game. It's a game that you can just hop in and, you know, like it said, use these pictures that you find in the game to unlock stuff. It just seems like such a sweet take on a game. Because not every, you know, you don't always feel like sitting down and playing a game and have to do some hack and slash or, you know, an FPS. It's very stressful. This definitely looks like a game changer. So I put the link in the show notes. Once again, that is called East Shade.
You know, if we're gonna do this thing, we need to come up with a name, something.
Yeah, I know.
Something catchy, something.
I've been thinking about it.
Electric.
What does this feel like?
What about?
This is Got Name. So this is where I help you find a guild, clan, tribe, or team name. And I have 10 of them for this episode. So we're going to get started with the funniest one. It's Icky Ancients. Because if you're going to be ancient, you might want to be icky. And the next one is Roaring Privilege. Oh yes, I think we know people like that in our lives. They belong into the Roaring Privilege tribe. So, you can also name your group the Decayed Exiles. Or the Grudge of Tricks. Recruits of Air. That sounds like Recruits of Flatulence. Recruits of Air. Oh my. Duty of Deception. Thugs of the Sun. I want to see how that plays out. Moonshard. Golden Forge and Greyford. So they always start us out so crazy, like Icky Ancients and Recruits of Air. Or Recruits of Flatulence. I have modded it to be. And then they end with something sophisticated with Greyford. So, yeah, there you go. I have yet to hear if anybody has ever used one of these, so let me know, because that would be hilarious. So we are going into closing thoughts. As we go into our gaming realms this week, let us be intentional and mindful with our actions. What's something we can do to glorify God in game? Please let me know what you've come up with. Send those ideas and any prayer requests you might have, public or private, that you would like to share at achristiangamingpodcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet the show @a_CG podcast, or you can follow me on Twitter at Raina Plays. And all of my business and all my stuff is at RainaPlays.com. Well, you guys have a great day, and I will see you in a couple days. God bless. Bye.